I'm excited to preach today. Let's pray in. Father God, I just thank you for your word. I thank you for your faithfulness. Jesus, you've been so faithful. And Lord, just give us ears to hear today. Give us the wisdom and the ears to receive the encouragement of your faithfulness. Receive the wisdom of knowing the difference between shallow faith and saving faith, God. And I thank you for your word that never changes. Bless our time together in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're in John chapter 4. Last week in John's gospel, we looked at the power of testimony. Jesus met a woman at a well in Samaria on his way to Galilee. This pit stop, though seemingly accidental, was ordained by God's providence. She came to the well thirsty, discouraged, shameful, and guilty of a sinful life. Jesus, in his love for her, offers her salvation. He said, what I have, and I'm paraphrasing, but he said, what I have is living water, and anyone who drinks from the well of God will never thirst again. Then Jesus proceeds to tell her the sin and the guilt that she carries. You've been divorced 5 times and you're living with your boyfriend. So the truth always exposes the sin, but it doesn't come with condemnation. It comes with forgiveness, and he shows her that. Jesus accepts her just the way she is, and the woman accepts the truth that Jesus Christ is the Savior she's been waiting for. In excitement, she goes and tells the people in her city what has happened to her and who she just met. Her simple, authentic testimony caused many others to seek Jesus. Jesus spent 2 days in the city of Sychar in Samaria, teaching, causing a revival of salvation in the city. Keep in mind, Jesus did no miracles. He gave her a word of knowledge, but that he performed no miracles. No signs, no wonders were performed. These people heard the truth and believed. John's whole gospel, this whole gospel, is purposely focused on belief. The Greek word is pisteo. And the definition is to believe with an implication that actions based on that trust may follow. Pisteo is used in this gospel more than 100 times. John is driving this nail over and over and over again. Why? So that all who read this gospel may believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. And that by believing, we may have life in his name. Amen? Today we're going to study the account of Jesus entering Galilee. His Galilean ministries were Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the synoptic gospels, start their accounts of Jesus' ministry. John, however, only shares some applicable events that all point to belief in Jesus Christ, the monogenes, right? The one and only Son. Nobody like him. So that's what's so beautiful about the gospel is as well. Some of, you know, they overlap in certain ways, but they also fill in, you know, gaps. They complement each other. That's what's so beautiful about them. And it is, they're each of them are the story of Jesus and his ministry, but they all have different accounts. Some of them the same, as I said, but others that just fill in the gaps. So we're going to be in John chapter 4, verses 43 through 54. And I'm going to read the whole text, because when we break this down, it'll be a lot harder to, well, not hard to track, but I want to read everything in full and then we'll break it down together. Verse 43. After the 2 days he left for Galilee. Remember, he spent 2 days in Sychar with the Samaritans. Now Jesus himself had pointed out that a prophet has no honor in his own country. When he arrived in Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him. They had seen all that he had done in Jerusalem and at the Passover festival, for they also had been there. Excuse me. Once more he visited Cana in Galilee, where he had turned water into wine. And there was a certain royal officer whose son lay sick in Capernaum. When this man heard that Jesus had arrived in Galilee from Judea, he went to him and begged him to come and heal his son, who was close to death. Unless you people see signs and wonders, Jesus told him, you will never believe. The royal official said, sir, come down before my child dies. Go, Jesus replied, your son will live. The men took Jesus at his word and departed. While he was still on the way, his servants met him with the news that his boy was living. When he inquired as to the time when his son got better, they said to him, yesterday at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, the fever left him. Then the father realized that this was the exact time at which Jesus had said to him, your son will live. So he and his whole household believed. This was the second sign Jesus performed after coming to Judea, from Judea to Galilee. Okay, so let's get into it. Verses 43 and 44. After 2 days, he left for Galilee. Now, Jesus himself had pointed out that a prophet has no honor in his own country. So this is the Apostle John. This is chronological. So after the 2 days, remember, he spent 2 days in Samaria teaching the people. Big revival. People are believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And now he makes his way to Galilee. And this parenthesis that John puts in here is on purpose. Now, Jesus himself had pointed out that a prophet has no honor in his own country. He wants to contrast. The Apostle John, who wrote this gospel, wants to contrast the belief of these Samaritans. Okay, they were part Gentile, part Jew. The culture that they're in right now is that Jews hate the Samaritans and the Samaritans hate Jews. And here comes Jesus, a Jew, and he ministers to this woman. Her testimony brings everybody out, and Jesus starts teaching, and this town gets saved. Jesus is the only way that cultural divides come together. Amen. Like, he just tears down walls of racism and prejudice and all the garbage that people succumb to in this life. So he does that, and now he goes to Galilee, where I'm going to go back to chapter 2 of John's gospel to show you what Jesus is walking into, to remind you. In verse 23 of chapter 2, it says, now while he was in Jerusalem at the Passover festival, many people saw the signs he was performing and believed in his name. But Jesus would not entrust himself to them, for he knew all people. He did not need any testimony about mankind, for he knew what was in each person. See, that This is the difference between unbelief, shallow belief, and sufficient saving belief. These people believed that he was doing miracles. They believed he was from God, but they just were receiving him when he comes back because he had done those miracles. You understand? They weren't interested in Jesus Christ being their Lord and Savior. They just wanted him to make their best life now. Wave your magic wand, genie, and, you know, do your miracles. We just want to see we want to see your bells and whistles, Jesus. That's what we're here to see. That's why John adds that a prophet has no honor in his own country. They just weren't taking him seriously. So chapter 4, verse 45. When he arrived in Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him. They had seen all that he had done in Jerusalem at the Passover festival, as I just read, for they had also been there. So see, these are the very same people Jesus would not entrust himself to. They loved signs and wonders, but lacked the revelation or the belief that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world, right? They still had the, I need to see it to believe it attitude. So verse 46, once more, he visited Cana in Galilee, where he had turned water into wine. And there was a certain royal official whose son lay sick in Capernaum. So Jesus visits the very city where he performed his first miracle, the water into wine. This royal official, and the Greek word is basilikos, it means nobleman, was attached somehow to King Herod Antipas, who was like an evil king that he was really bad. He like got with his dad's wife and stuff like that, you know, like it was bad. Let me show you the slide. I brought a slide today in my little pointer. Okay. So this man, this nobleman, there we are, comes from Capernaum to Cana. So Capernaum's about 16 miles northeast of Cana. But Capernaum is 680 feet below sea level. I didn't look up how far in the mountains Cana is, but this is an uphill, up the mountains. It's not just 16 miles flat. It's a trek. And this man's son's deathly ill. He heard Jesus was going to be there, and he's going to get him. Verse 47. When this man heard that Jesus had arrived in Galilee from Judea, he went to him and begged him to come and heal his son, who was close to death. So we see this nobleman, he heard, he went, and he begged. That word for begged is aroteo, and it means to ask, to urge, to pray. He had enough, so he had faith that Jesus could heal because he heard of the things that had been happening, and he heard that Jesus was in Galilee. You see, testimonies are powerful. That's why I encourage us to apply that to now. What, you know, you don't have to have a degree in theology to share what God's done in your life. It's so powerful for people who don't know Jesus to hear your testimony authentically with no degree. You're not spitting off addresses of scripture off your head, but you're sharing, look, I was like this. I met Jesus, and now I'm like this. People hear. I was spiritually sick. I was spiritually dead. I was lost, and I met Jesus. And now everything's different. I feel like I've got purpose. I feel like I belong. I don't know everything yet, but what I do know is even though the path is narrow, I'm on the right one. Things like that, people hear and they go and they seek. And this is what this man did. So he's got enough faith that Jesus is a healer. That still, we would call that, because listen, we're going to see here, too. We all show up to church for different reasons, okay? This man was afraid that his son was going to die. You might be afraid that you're going to die. Your life is crazy. You might be afraid your marriage is going to die. We all come to church for a reason. Very few come because you've been saved all your life and everything's been good and you're here. Praise God. Those are testimonies. I did a podcast recently where the guy was like, yeah, I've been a Christian my whole life. I've never drank, never smoked, I got radically born again when I was 6 years old. And I'm like, that's a powerful testimony. Rare. Right? Powerful. But most of us, like myself, right? Most of us have been desperate. Something is, you know, tragedy's going on, or we just know we've been lost because our life has just been this roller coaster of pain. It's okay that brings us here, but as we'll see, don't let that be the only reason why you come. You know, many people come to church because there's community. I get that. Praise God for that. We need community. But it's not the community that saves you and heals you. It's not the community that causes you to grow. It is Jesus. It is God. It's coming here to meet God. We commune. We love on each other. But here's where you're going to grow. Right here. In the Word. You let the Word renew your mind. You let the Word convict your heart. You let God do His thing by trusting Him. So we see in verse 48, Jesus challenges this guy. Unless you people see signs and wonders, Jesus told him, you will never believe. You know, you're just like everybody else here who wants to see the dog and pony show. You got to see it to believe it. Basically, Jesus is saying, are you not prepared to believe me now at my word? Are you ready? Or are you like the rest of the people that need to see it? Shallow faith. Listen. Shallow faith looks for the crutch of signs and wonders. Okay? Saving faith trusts God. We trust. You said it, I trust you. I trust you, God. Verse 49. The royal official said, sir. So Jesus challenges him and he's like, sir, come down before my child dies. Jesus, say what you want about me. I know you can heal my kid, please. His desperation and his persistency. You know, he exercises the faith that he has and his desperation in Jesus and says, hey, heal my son. So, in verse 50, Jesus says, go. Your son will live. The man took Jesus at his word and departed. Jesus said, go. It's done by my word. He could have, the nobleman could have said, no, 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 no. I need you to come with me. I need to, you know, you gotta personally come and be there. But he didn't. Jesus is saying, go, it's done by my word. It is done by my word. Now walk in faith until you receive the promise. So, wherever this guy was at, if he did show up like everybody else and had that same mentality, the Bible isn't specific where this guy was at, but Jesus can see his heart. And he challenged the guy. This was a beautiful test of obedience, if you will. Because he said, I've said it. Now go. And the man goes in obedience. Jesus said, go. I'm going to go. I'm not going to argue. I'm going to go. I'm going to trust him at his word. This is where we apply this, guys. There are so many promises in his word. There are so many directives in his word that he has said. And if God says it, that's the way it is. Amen? And our whole walk with Christ is to either hear it or read it, believe it, and walk it out until we receive it. Amen? I'm going to give you an example and I'm going to tell on myself because I love to do that. Just to give you a realization that a walk with Christ can be messy. It's not perfect. So, Tracy and I have been saved a long time. Yes, I'm going to use us because it's a miracle that we're still married. And whether you're married or not, listen to me. This is about relationships. And this is about trusting God and having real faith versus shallow faith. So, Tracy and I have been saved a long time. We're both still selfish. We're both still, you know, we're getting sanctified. Things are getting better. But I would pray, God, save my marriage. God, you know, why? You know, like, you're God. Why? You know, I know you can. I know you can, but how come you're not? How come it's still the same? And I would pray this prayer. I don't even know how long. It took a while, right? It took a while. And again, glory be to God. Tracy and I are getting sanctified. We're both getting farther and farther in Christ. Things are falling away. But God convicted me one day. Because I was praying that same prayer again. And he goes, When are you going to realize that I can do anything and pray with faith? He's like, you don't believe I can. You're praying, God, heal my marriage, but you don't believe I can. And it was like, you're right. Like, I know he can, but the belief wasn't there that he would. Like, it's just, I want you to connect some dots here. And I was convicted and I said, you know what? I'll never pray like that again. Thank you. Then my prayers begin to shift from heal my marriage to thank you. Thank you, God, that all things are possible with you. I thank you, God, that you will and are healing my marriage. You know what? I thank you that now, you know, I am not ever going to doubt you. I'm already going to celebrate the victory. I'm going to begin to live and pray and operate in the win, in the victory, because I believe you can and you will. Amen? So it causes us to then focus on, you know, participating in that blessing. Oh, well, what does your word say about being a husband? Oh, what does your word say about how we're supposed to deal with conflict? What is your word? And we begin to operate in the obedience. You see what I'm saying? We're trusting him at his word because my ego says, no, 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 no. She hurt your feelings. Or they hurt your feelings. You need to strike back. But the truth is, you know, a gentle word, deflects. I forgot the scripture. A gentle word turns away wrath. Thank you, Lord. That love wins. That even in an uncomfortable conversation, being obedient to God is going, God, I trust you. I'm going to speak the truth in love, and I'm going to trust that you've got me. I'm going to trust you with my feelings. I'm not going to try to protect myself. I'm going to love in an authentic way. I'm going to trust you at your word. Does that make sense to everyone? It's you said it, I believe it, and I'm going to operate in the victory. That's what I'm going to do. So this is a great example of that. And be honest with yourself, because that was the greatest revelation. One of them, God's done so many miracles in my life, you guys, but one of the greatest revelations of personal, like, a victory was to know that I actually loved Jesus, believed he was who he says he is, believe he is who he says he is, and I still had doubt. You know, to have that revealed. So if you do have doubt, deal with it. Be honest about it. Ask God to increase your faith. Begin to shift your prayer life into the victory. You can. You're a God who can and who does. And I repent of ever doubting you. He said, and he said, when Jesus said, your son will live, the Greek word is zeo. And it means to live, alive again, return to life, resurrection life. It's a lot like Zoe, which is another just all-inclusive word for life. It's more than just physical life. The full phrase in Greek is he pisteo, Hologos, halagos. He believed Jesus at his word. That word is the same word that they use for belief. He took Jesus at his word. He believed and he obeyed what he said without seeing the immediate results. That preaches, man. We pray about so many things. And that's good. Keep praying, believing, moving in the direction of the blessing God can and he does. Sometimes God says no. Like, I want to keep it real. Like, things don't always or really hardly ever turn out the way we think they are. But we know, here's what we do know. It ain't over if it ain't good. It's not over if it's not good. Because God said, I turn all things for the good to those who I love and who I loved and call and are called. Oh my gosh, help me, Jesus. And are called according to my purpose. Yes, thank you. That's what he said. Believe it. Hear it. Believe it. And operate in that. I'm not saying we don't get to have our feelings. When trials come and tragedies come, we're allowed to be sad. You know, frustrated, even angry and bitter, like, but don't let that's not where we camp. We feel our feelings, we take them to God, we trust him at his word, and we give him the rest. The results are up to you. I trust you. I will not sit in bitterness. I will not sit in anger. I will not sit in fear. I will not sit in resentment. I felt it. I'm through it. I trust you. It'll change your life, right? It changes the way we do life. When we pray, we give thanks for who he is. We bring our petitions to him. And then we stand on his unfailing word and walk it out. That's the process. Thank him for who he is. Lord, I love you. Thank you for your faithfulness. Even when I lack faithfulness, you're faithful. Thank you for who you are. Here's my petitions. I believe you can. I stand on your word. I stand on your promises. And now, Holy Spirit, empower me to walk that out. Strengthen me in my walk as if until I receive what you have for me. Hebrews 11:1 says this. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. And 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, for we live by faith, not by sight. You followers of Christ, we live by the promises of God. We don't live by what we see. What we see can be deceiving. Our feelings can be deceiving. The truth never changes. God's word never changes. Our life changes all the time. Our feelings change all the time. But God's word is true. So we live by faith in the word of God that he spoke. Jesus, the word made flesh. We trust you. That's walking in the spirit. Right? Versus walking in the flesh. We all get fleshy, but don't walk in it. Call yourself on it. Oh, man. My thoughts right now are not right. I won't. So I under, right? You can't stop the thoughts from coming like a bird flying over your head, but you can keep the bird from nesting there. Amen. It doesn't have to nest there. Marinate. We marinate on the truth. We allow those thoughts to come in. We go, no, 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 that ain't right. What's true? What's right? What's noble? What's honorable? Praiseworthy? These are the things that I will meditate on. We need to trust God at His word in all things concerning life and death. Trust. So, chapter 4, verse 51. We see that the nobleman, while he was still on his way, his servants met him with the news that his boy was living. Excuse me. When he inquired as to the time when his son got better, excuse me, dang. They said to him, yesterday at 1 p.m, the fever left him. Then the father realized that this is the exact time in which Jesus had said to him, your son will live. So he and his whole household believed. He was met with the news. He walked in faith. He got the promise, his testimony that Jesus is who he says he is. Jesus really is who he says he is. And his household went, what? Okay. And they believed. A saving faith from shallow faith or unbelief to saving faith. And it, you know what? Because of the nobleman's faith, it took one person in that family to change the whole family. I hope that encourages you. One guy in the family. I'm going to find Jesus. I'm going to go find him. One person can change the whole family. Amen? Right? So don't be discouraged. Hallelujah. Don't be discouraged. Because I know many, many of us have family members that are not believers. Maybe shallow believers. You keep, stay faithful. Keep walking. Keep praying for them and walking. Thank you, God. I thank you, God. You could save anybody. If you could save Pastor Chris, you could save anybody. Hallelujah. And he will. And he does. And so your love, your self-control, your peace that you carry regardless of what life does to you, showing and shining the strength of Christ in all areas of your life. Your family's watching. People are watching. Your faith can move mountains, church. Move mountains. Trusting in God and believing Him in His Word. Hallelujah. In Matthew 7 through 11, Jesus says this. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, you give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Look, Jesus said it. We believe it. But we seek first, right? We seek first. It's to believe in his name means to believe in all that he is. That he's the Son of God. That God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit make up the Godhead. And he is the one true God. So we seek him. We seek his kingdom first. We don't just seek what he can do for our lives to make it better. We seek him and his fullness. And because of that, doors are opened. We find him. We seek him. We find him. He's faithful. And in him, right? In Christ is the strength. In Christ is the victory. In Christ is the healing. In Christ, we win. No matter what happens. This is not a prosperity gospel message. I'm not telling you you're going to be rich. And you're going to, you know, you'll be comfortable. You'll be healthy. We're all dying. Right now. We're in the process. What I'm saying is, your life in Christ will be full. It will not be for the hard trials that you go through in life will now not be in vain. It's an opportunity. Honestly, I'm not telling you gotta enjoy it. Just know, my God has allowed this in my life for a reason, for a purpose, and I know you love me. I trust you. I trust you, God. Not what I see. I trust you. That's walking in the Spirit. That's saving faith. And the only reason why I want to hammer this today is because from experience, when my belief went to God, you know, change things, you know, why aren't you changing this? Why? Into, hey, whatever happens, happens. I trust you, mighty God. I'm yours. I know you can. I know you will. I'm just going to walk it out. It has been freedom. It's freedom to really live that way. Whatever you want, however this goes, I trust you. I'm just going to obey you. That's what I'll focus on. I won't focus on what I see. I won't focus on other people. I won't focus on circumstances. I, in all of those things, will focus on my obedience to your word. Watch what happens. Talk about the winds and the waves, not even, man, it's a little bumpy. Life gets a little hard sometimes, but God's good. I've seen him time and time again. Be faithful. You see, that's what the opportunity is in hard times, is to watch God be faithful to you. In hard times, to trust him at his word will teach you many, many, many deep spiritual truths about him. We learn a lot in the valley. We learn a lot in the desert. More than we learn on the mountaintops. That's what those are for. They're allowed in our lives to teach us the faithfulness and the goodness of God. So we get to verse 54, and this it says that this was the second sign Jesus performed after coming from Judea to Galilee. So from the time Jesus was baptized in the Jordan by John the Baptist, and he made his first trip to Cana, turned water into wine, then he stopped in Samaria, performed no miracles, to the second time he came to Cana. So we see that the first miracle was water into wine. Not just saving a wedding, but revealing to everybody that the new covenant is here. That the old way, this old Jewish way was no longer. Jesus is here. And the new wine, the new covenant is here. Second miracle in Cana, resurrection life. New life in Christ. His first two miracles, right? New covenant, new life in him. It's beautiful. On purpose for a purpose. Just like that meeting with the woman at the well wasn't an accident. The pit stop. So this is what I want to challenge us with. To walk in obedience to what Jesus has already said. For us to walk in obedience to what he's already said. This is why we hold reading our Bible so high in this church. It's not because it's your religious duty to do it. And you don't belong here if you don't. It's so you know who you are. And you know who he is. That's why the word says to renew our minds with the word of God. So we have the fresh revelation of his goodness. The fresh revelation of his promises. That we know how to behave in adversity, and we know how to behave in victory. And that is all for his glory. And that the peace in Christ that rests in his word rests in our hearts. I say this a lot, but I'm going to say it again. When was the last time you put your Bible down and you were like filled with anxiety? No, that's your phone. That's your computer. This word of God will give you peace. The world's going to continue to get crazy, you guys. Don't be surprised. Don't be surprised that the next thing, God is in control. He'll never not be in control. And I pray that that gives you peace. It does me. So I don't want to end today without giving an opportunity, okay? We're all in different places today. Maybe you walked in with that unbelief or shallow belief. I pray that the word today encouraged you. That you can trust God. You can trust Jesus Christ. With your salvation, with your life, with your family, with your circumstances, your finances, your childhood trauma. He is a healer. He's a good God, and he loves you. And it's not the prayer that we pray here that saves you. It's surrendering to the God who does. Just God come into my life and change me. Cleanse me, change me. Make your word come alive to me. That's why we do that here. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, or maybe you have before, you've said the prayer, but you just know you haven't been living with Him and you want to rededicate your heart, I want to give you that opportunity today. So if you've never given your life to Jesus or you want to rededicate your heart, just raise your hand and we'll pray. Raise your hand and we'll pray. All right. Right on. All right, church. Let's pray this prayer together, okay? We'll pray it out loud. Help us out, church. Father God in heaven, thank you for your son, Jesus. I'm a sinner and I need a savior. So I ask you, come into my heart, come into my life, cleanse me and change me. I ask you to fill me with your Holy Spirit and make your word come alive. I thank you for your forgiveness. I turn from my sin and I turn to you. Today, I am yours and you are mine. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father God, shine your face upon your people as they go. I thank you, Lord, for your word today that reminds us to walk in the victory. Thank you for your faithfulness. Bless your people as they go, and may your light shine through them in this dark and dying world, God. I pray your highest and best blessing over them. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you guys.